Okay, Baruch Hashem, we spoke about Baruch Hashem, we spoke about intermarriage quite a bit. We spoke about now Jewish marriage a little bit. So at the end of the day, all these Shabbat brachot, Be'ezer Hashem, those who haven't had will have. There's going to be a lot of wine. You have to know how to pick out kosher wine. What is kosher wine? So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah spends quite a bit of time discussing the Yisur of Yayin Nesach, the Yisur of Satam Yinam. So let's have a little bit more of an introduction. We gave a general introduction to Ma'achalei Akum. There are a lot of guys learning Avodah Zarah this year. So let's go, and depending on whether you're learning parts of the first half or parts of the second half, you're going to get a lot of Yayin Nesach either way. So Be'ezer Hashem, we'll talk about that for some time, here and there, whenever. And also, this should help frame the conversation for you when you're learning the sugyo to understand what part of the discussion you're holding in. First of all, there are three categories of yain, of isur of yain. First of all, there's yain nesach, which is actual wine that was poured for avodah zarah. So that is asur min haTorah. The Rambam writes in the Sefer Mitzvot, "Chelos v'chemo yochelu yishtu yain nesicham." And then the Rambam is a little bit strange. He brings a couple more proofs to his isur, and the Ramban is really unhappy with the Rambam. No, kedarkam bekodesh. Okay, now ayin sham. Next. What is that's yain nesach asur min haTorah with what? Behana'ah. Just like avodah zarah is asur behana'ah, tikrovet avodah zarah, offerings from avodah zarah are asurim behana'ah, so too yain nesach is asur behana'ah. Midrabanan, they said that all wine owned by non-Jews should be asur behana'ah as well. Because, A, intermarriage. We want you to stay far away. If you like his wine, then you might want to like his daughter also, especially if you hang around him long enough. You might see his daughter, she might serve you, etc. Whatever the mitziyut logistically would be, as an obstacle to intermarriage, the Chachamim instituted that all wine of non-Jews, owned by non-Jews, is asur. But not only asur b'shitiya, which is what it takes, drinking is what it takes to, you know, get closer to intermarriage, but even b'hana'a. Because once they decide we're going to make a gezerah, we're going to pattern it after the din d'oraita of yain nesach, it should be asur b'hana'ah as well. It may be more far-fetched to think that, wait a minute, what's the asur b'hana'ah for? Maybe at some point, before they serve you this wine, they actually used it to worship their idols, and now they picked it up and they poured it back into the bottle and they're giving it to you. Even though that's far-fetched, it's really just an added level of isur. For either because they changed their minds after they made the gezerah, made it worse, or at the same time they made it longer. Okay, it's machloket rishonim. At the end of the day, there's no difference. It's asur b'hana'ah. Fine. That's when it's owned by a non-Jew. When it's not owned by a non-Jew, it's owned by a Jew. If the non-Jew handles the wine and he touches it, that's called maga akum. He touched by a non-Jew. That is also asur b'hana'ah because maybe he had in mind to touch it and stir it in a way that it would be poured for his avodah zarah, and that would count as avodah zarah, sikrovet avodah zarah, and be asur behana'ah. So those are the three categories, yayin nesach, sitam yinam, and maga akum. Now, there's a number of categories of discussions that we should just frame and put out there and outline for ourselves, that what wine are we talking, what kind of wine are we talking about? What kind of grape products, in other words, are we talking about? When you make wine, there are all sorts of names that get thrown around there, whether it be the liquid and its various forms, various ages, what you do to the liquid, the parts of the grape, the pulp and the pits, or the pips is a different way of saying the seeds. The pulp and the pits, or pips, whatever, those are also byproducts. And then there's all sorts of things that come out of the wine, whether it be the sediment, or out of the grape, they come out of the sediment, or other things. You have to keep in mind, what are those things? Are those also included or not? And then what happens to that liquid? At what age does that liquid become asur? If one has vinegar, is that asur? Or maybe if you do something to the liquid before it's touched or owned by a non-Jew, such as boiling it, such as pasteurizing it, right? Yain mivushal, yain mifustar. These are important questions that one has to ask in order to understand the limits of the isur. Maybe if you sweeten it or spice it, the Gemara seems to say, you'd also avoid the isur of yayin nesach. So you have to keep in mind those concepts. Now, who is considered a non-Jew? Obviously, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, okay. Arguably, if you walk down the street and find the Catholic Church, that would be included, according to many poskim. And if it's a non-Catholic Church, okay, we can talk about it also. But the ones who pour the wine on Sunday morning, so machloket achronim, is it Avodah Zarah Mamash, or is it Tikrovet Avodah Zarah? It's not a machloket if it's Avodah Zarah. That's an earlier machloket. We hold it's Avodah Zarah. And really, Medina, Christian wine should be Asur Ba'anan Min HaTorah, if they pour it, and Midrav Anan, if it's just owned by them. But what about Muslims? Half of the Jewish world lived in Islamic countries for a long time. So what about them? And people who go off the Derech and become a Mumar, a Ger, all these different people I have to think about and consider. In that 1492, you know, the expulsion left a lot of people converting to Christianity and from Spain, the Moranos. And when they come back, they do Teshuvah. What happens to their wine? Machloket Rishonim to discuss. We'll have to get there, Be'ezat Hashem. And Bazman Hazeh, how many people actually care about their Avodah Zarah? How many people are such from Heliga Erlecha Christians? No, how many of them? That's what, historically, the Baalei Tosafot and others had to find kulot for them to do business with wine. So there are definitely new perspectives to keep in mind when it comes to interacting with non-Jews and who's considered an Oved Avodah Zarah Bazman Hazeh. That's the what wine, that's the who touches my wine. But what about the how? My cleaning lady is, you know, opens the fridge and there's a bottle of wine in the fridge and it shakes. Asur? Why not? We have to establish what are the three parameters that a woman or a non-Jew could be prohibiting wine. She has to have direct or maybe indirect contact. She has to use her force, kocho. Maybe even kolach kocho. She push a button and something happens. Does that also count? She has to have kavana, that she's touching the wine, yediyah, that there's wine over there, and she has to not be busy with other things. So these are all important halachot that one has to keep in mind. A rabbi can very easily get this question after telling people that it could be a problem. If they don't understand that you know, a non-Jew shouldn't be handling their wine in their house, then they won't ask you this question. But once you alert them to the issues of non-Jews handling wine, wait a minute, there was a wine bottle on the dining room table after Shabbat lunch and the cleaning lady picked it up and put it on the side. Now what? That could be Asur B'Derabanan, no? No, nobody believes it because everybody knows Halachot already. Good, Baruch Hashem. Okay, but if you didn't, this would be a question. Now, from when? At what point? You know, the grapes, when they come, when grapes come in the factory, from the fields, they come in a huge dump truck, and all of these grapes are sitting one on top of the other, clusters, agave clusters, and they're pressing down. This liquid is coming out. And when the dump truck guy goes and brings it into the factory, he backs into the spot, he pushes the button, and then the back goes up and everything falls down. Yeah, is that a problem? Koach kocho. He pushed the button, something happened, and it came down. There's liquid in there. Is that yain nesach or not? Sam yinam or not? We have to think about these issues, about what point in the grape development and in the wine development, the winemaking process, is there a problem of sitam yinam? I know there isn't that much content today, but it's important to know what are all the issues, so that when you learn the sugyot, you can place these things in class and categorize them appropriately. A couple more issues to just think about are ta'arovot. If I mix wine with something else before it's touched by a non-Jew, let's say I make a meal, I make a steak, and I use wine, I cook it with wine, and then the goy comes and touches it in the cooking process. He didn't have anything in mind. He sees a steak with some wine, like dressing around it, or marinating. It's not like he would actually ever think about picking it up and pouring it for his goy. So maybe there's something to talk about there. And let's say it's already Asur Bana. You take non-Jewish wine, and the fact that they didn't realize the goy came to touch it, and then that was mixed with other wine. What are the ta'arovot, halachot ta'arovot, and the mixtures when it comes to wine? Two more things just to keep in mind is maintaining the kashrut of my wine. I don't want a goy to touch my wine, but I can't only have Jewish people watching my barrels. What if I want to send my wine to a faraway place, to somebody else? How do I maintain the kashrut of my wine? There are all sorts of things in the sugya of chotamot, and the signets that they would put on the barrels in order to ensure that goyim would not intervene. And that is halakha l'maaseh for thousands of years. How to send wine from one place to another. And we'll talk about at length, Mitzrayim did not have any wine production. There was no winery in Mitzrayim. So they used to bring from Crete, and they had to bring use goyim. There's a whole incredible 1,000 years of using the Rambam's amazing shita about sweet wine and chotamot in order to make it happen. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had wine. So it's important to know the halachot. Finally, Klei Hayayin. Klei Hayayin, everyone wants to know. Sherry cask, Rabbi, can I drink stuff that was made in sherry casks? Well, you have to know the halachot of Klei Hayayin, which is very complicated, and it's very hard. But whenever someone leaves wine inside of a keli, the keli, even though there's no heat, the keli absorbs a little bit. And that little bili'ah is going to be maflit, niflat, into the next thing that goes into it. It's going to be shot out into the next thing. So it's important that bli'ah is asr b'hana. So you have to understand how to get it out, A, but even before that, B, when is it a problem? When I go to the store and I buy a pot, or I buy a cup, do I have to be concerned that they put wine in it before I bought it? It's brand new. So, of how do you determine when it's a problem? And if it is a problem, how do you get it out? It's called milui v'irui. You fill it up for 24 hours with water, you spill it out, you do it again. Spill it out, do it again, three times altogether, with water, maybe with other liquids. And that's how you are makshir the keli. So these are all a bunch of ideas that I know that I didn't get any conclusions about. But help us, these 8 points about the three categories, what wine, who is also the wine, how does it become asur, from when does it become asur, taravot, maintaining kashrut, and klei ayayin, help us frame the conversation when we talk about yayin nesech, and it's not just like an abstract idea, but it's really like clear, what are the issues here, and when I'm learning a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, how does it make sense to me based on what I know already? Okay, Baruch Adonai Olam, Amen v'Amen. Okay, yeah.